Good morning. Welcome at the meeting of the Select Committee for Appropriations. I believe you had a very fruitful provincial week. Some of you, your provinces were blessed with rain, others were blessed with more rain, and others had a disaster, like KZN along the coast.
Yeah.
Yes, and we're still experiencing drought in the Northern Cape in the Namakwa. So it's it's a very interesting country, South Africa. Good to see you back, that we are full of energy for the last part of 2017. According to the NCOP program, taking us up to the 5th of December, but looking at legislation that's been dealt with in the National Assembly Finance, so you must prepare yourself to stay a bit longer than the 5th of December. I made this remark in February, then people looked at me in a very strange face. So it's becoming a reality. But welcome at this meeting. Also to the department, to the National Treasury, which is Marekwa, and then the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. You received all the documentation, members. You received the research document. That's what we will be dealing with, and then consider one set of minutes. Honorable members, yesterday was a very important day in the world calendar. It was International Food Day, and so South Africa formed part of 150 countries celebrating the International but National Food Day, recognizing also the challenges the world have and countries in the world to supply food to their people. And it's good that we deal with this matter today in terms of the grants that's been allocated by the National Treasury to the Department of Agriculture to do what? To enhance food production in South Africa. So welcome to you. Apologies. Secretary, Mr. Lubulwalo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, and good morning, colleagues. Chairperson, we received four apologies.
Four?
Yes. Three from the committee members, honorable Matebula, honorable Geila, who might join us a little bit earlier, and honorable Mohai. The fourth apology, Chairperson, that we received comes from the department. The acting DG, indicates on the apology that he is attending another meeting, Chairperson, but Mr. Msomi is here, he is going to lead this delegation, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the portfolio committee is also meeting, so there's a clash of the two meetings at the same time. So we understand this, and that you then split the staff component, we as finance appropriations do it twice a year when we deal with the budget, etc. So, but thank you for being here. Treasury, are you ready? You are part and parcel of this meeting. Honourable members, do you have the document? This maroon one.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you 40 minutes. Is that enough? Do you need more?
More than enough, I'll take
less. You're welcome. You may proceed. Just before you start. Honourable Minister, welcome. You came in so quietly. But you're a hard worker. You do it, you don't make a lot of noise when you work. And you do a great job. That I'm putting you straight as a chairperson, acting chair of the Appropriations Committee. Because I experienced it yesterday in my constituency, National Food Day. It was a huge success. In a drought-stricken Namakwa.
Yeah.
But everyone had a smile on their faces. And that's what makes South Africa a bit different from other countries. So thank you, Minister, for being here. I'm going to give you the opportunity just after the Treasury presentation that you make your input when we deal with agriculture. Mrs. Marekwa, just see that the Honourable Minister have this document as well. And the agenda. Mrs. Marekwa, you may start.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, and Honorable Minister. I'll start with the CASP conditional grant that it started in 2004 and 2005 with the purpose of providing effective agricultural support services, promoting and facilitating agricultural development by targeting beneficiaries of land reform, restitution and redistribution, and other black producers of acquired land through private means and are engaged in value-adding enterprise domestically or export markets to address damages to infrastructure caused by floods. The key outputs being farmers supported, subsistence farmers, smallholder farmers, and commercial farmers, farm infrastructure provided and repairs, sectors under agricultural production, and beneficiaries of CASP trained on farming methods, a beneficiary of CASP being helped to access markets, and jobs also being created. When the grant started, it was allocated only 200 million, and there was, at the time, in 2004 and 2005, there was underspending of 26%, which has, over the years, significantly improved, and also the grant has increased significantly over the years. But I must indicate that from 2012-13, also the grant includes the funding for disaster. So if there is any disaster that's happening within the agricultural space, we're not having a separate grant of disaster, but we're incorporating it within the CASP grant. So as you can see, over the years, the provinces have improved their spending, even though we have never reached 100%, but at least it has stabilized at 99%. With regards to the achievements, part of the project that CASP does is the boreholes for those farmers, smallholder farmers and others. The piggery, if they're in the business of piggery and deep tanks and others. So this slide shows the number of projects completed in terms of the infrastructure projects. And then this slide shows the number of farmers supported. Mpumalanga would seem that they did well in terms of putting the farmers in 2012-13 and 13-14. But we suspect that there's something they did not report correctly in terms of this indicator, hence, because it seems too high compared to the rest of all provinces in terms of farmers supported, unless they've got a different method of counting the number of beneficiaries in their case. With regards to the rollovers over the years, since inception, the grant has always underspent, but as I indicated in the previous slide, the level of underspending has decreased significantly over the years, except in 2012-13 when Northern Cape received funding for disaster when there were floods in Northern Cape, so they couldn't spend the bulk of the money, so it had to be rolled over. In that regard. So hence, we saw a spike in 2012-18 in that regard. The challenges with regard to this grant, some of it, the reason is that there's this infrastructure delivery management system that has been institutionalized in provinces. So because agriculture also has got some infrastructure projects, so it has been recommended that also the sector also use the infrastructure delivery management system, we call it IDMS, as part of infrastructure delivery. So the challenges experienced with that is that this process requires signing off on the professional. So it will see me cause sometimes it causes challenges in this regard. The spending also in agricultural colleges has been not at the level that we want, with only 20% of funds allocated in 2016-17 being spent. Monitoring it has to be stepped up in the current financial to ensure that performance improves in this regard. But there was a process to move colleges from provinces that one of our colleagues was participating in, that we're hoping that by now the colleges probably would be at national government. Poor planning also in provinces will result in poor performance due to lack of competent dedicated staff to manage the grants. Also, drought experience negatively affected the planting of crops and the implementation of some projects. Monitoring by the Department of Agriculture still needs attention. In the past 2 years, this is the second year that we have they receive funding from the grant to strengthen their monitoring capacity. So, but from what we've heard, some positions in this regard have not yet been filled. So we're still saying monitoring this regard needs to be strengthened. The challenge that we have is that transfer of funds to province does not correspond with the activities and cash flow requirements in provincial business plans. Hence, the schemes can underspend in provincial bank balance. Particularly this one, we see it in the first quarter in the sense that most of the time they get around maybe 20% of the grant, but the spending is always low, as I'll indicate in the next coming slides. And when we go for the first provincial visit in August, when you ask, but why is spending so low? But they'll say, our spending is in line with our business plan. So, and we're going towards planting season, some of them, so therefore we cannot spend. So it would seem we need really to ensure that the cash flows and the business plans are matching in this regard. With regards to the Illimalizima project grant, it started in 2008 and 2009 with the whole idea of assisting vulnerable black South African farming communities to achieve an increase in agricultural production and investment in infrastructure that unlocks agricultural production. The key output has been the land under agricultural production as crops and livestock, hectares of land rehabilitated and expanded irrigation schemes, yield per unit area beneficiaries and farmers supported, also in this regard job created. Just like any other new grant, also at the beginning, the grant had spending challenges, but it has improved. And I must indicate that it started with 96 million, and by that time, the grant was only supporting three provinces. For the first 2 years, the grant was only given to KZN, Northwest, and Northern Cape. From only 2010 and 11, all provinces benefited from the grant. So since the grant spending improved, has never kind of regressed. We see even in their case, at least in 2015-16, the grant managed to spend 100% of the grant. In terms of achievement, these are the projects completed, such as the irrigation schemes, and I know that also there was a Northern Cape, I think the Falhart irrigation scheme was part of the project. Yes, it was one of the projects here in Illimalizima. In terms of hectares planted, also there's the information that we have provided there. In terms of rollovers, also there's been some peaks, but as you can see, the grant has never underspent by more than 25 million. So the first peak there, 2008, we know that the grant started in 2008-09, so therefore there was that 20.9 million underspending. And then again in 2011-12, Gauteng and Limpopo underspent by huge amounts. And also in 2013-14, KZN also underspent in that regard. So, but as I've indicated, this grant has always done well. The current staff assistance in some provinces do not provide for dedicated staff or units to manage specific programs. Also, this grant had issues with the procurement processes, which is still an issue, especially on inputs and repairs to tractors. Drought experience also affected some of the crops. Non-attendance of training courses by beneficiaries have indicated that the new training also contributes to poor performance. Just like CAS, this grant also, the transfers to provinces are not in line with the spending, particularly in the first two quarters, because we've seen that most of these grants actually, they begin to peak the spending in the third and fourth quarter. The land care program grants poverty relief and infrastructure development has been in existence since 2001. In two financial years, with the purpose of promoting sustainable use and management of natural resources by engaging in community-based initiatives that support the pillars of sustainability, social, economic, and environmental, leading to greater productivity, food security, job creation, and better well-being for all. So in this case, this grant is not a big grant, but it includes hectares of rangeland protected and rehabilitated, hectares of land where weed and invader plants are under control, and kilometers of fence erected, and junior care participants involved in the program, and awareness campaigns conducted for land carers. As you can see, this grant started only with just below 6 million. It has grown, but not that much like the CASP and Ilimali Sima. So also at the beginning it had challenges with understanding, but even though in the 2002-2003 financial year they overspent by 34%. And over the years also in 2012-13 and 2013-14 there was the grant was doubled because of the fence of land reform and communal farmers funding provided. So hence we see that for those 2 years the expenditure was much higher and even the budget was much higher than the rest of other years. And we see that in 2015-16 again the grant, because of its small nature, was also overspent, and in the previous financial year they spent 100% of the budget. This slide shows the beneficiary supported in terms of land care. And then the second one, and we see that in terms of beneficiaries, Western Cape had the highest number of beneficiaries over the years. And from Mpumalanga, it has been going up and down from 5,529 to 1,206, and then picking up again in 2016-17 to 7,122. But we see that other provinces, they've not been supporting that much because of the size of this budget. These are the kilometers fence erected for land care. And then in terms of the rollovers, we see that the rollovers in this case were only at the beginning of the grant, but since 2012-13, there's not been underspending, so the grant has been fully spent in this regard. Also, this grant, there's been an issue in province with regards to the procurement processes, resulting in linked appointments of service providers, and in some instances late delivery of materials, particularly in the early years. Good summer rains in some provinces also led to the proliferation of alien invasive species such as langurs, which need more effort and input. So, and on the other hand, construction of gabions, for example, were delayed. Project Lixberg progress not fully thought through, hence request for change of project list on a regular basis, which is just shows that there is an issue of co-planning. And also in this case, we are saying that the grant transfers are not in line with the business plan. Now, looking at, we thought we must also look at which provinces have underspent on this grant over the years. And I'll just quickly go through them. With regards to Eastern Cape, I'll only probably look at the last 2 years because there's just a lot of data. We just wanted to show where the problems come from, and we see that with regards to cars, the challenges of this one was only at the beginning of the grant when it started, and also in 2014-15 and also 15-16 where there was kind of huge underspending. But if you look at 16-17, the underspending was low. Even with regards to land care, there were no rollovers, and in Lima also there were no rollovers with regards to that. Free State, just like others, also it had big underspending at the beginning of CASP. But if you look at other years, it was much smaller after the big one in 2010-11, and then the underspending was kind of just below 3 million in 2016-17, and we have kind of conditionally given them the provided this rollover, because what we normally do is once we have concluded the rollover request for that money that is within the provincial revenue fund, we write to them to say, look, we don't want you to perhaps delay to say we could not spend because we do not know. So we are saying, once we tell you in June or July, so you start planning how you're going to spend that money once it's appropriated in October. So with regards to the others, there were no challenges with regards to land care and Ilim. Gauteng, we know that there's not a lot of agriculture happening there, but they had challenges too, particularly in 2010-11. On CASP and on Ilima, and it was that Ilima did not even ask for rollover in that regard of that 10 million. And same to apply in 2012-13, they spent by 11 million but did not ask for rollover in that case. KwaZulu, in the past 3 years, they have not had challenges. They only had challenges in the middle of the, in 2006-07 to 2019, so I won't dwell into details as they're kind of self-explanatory. Also, the same with Limpopo. Limpopo, the challenge is not big. For 16-17, they do have a rollover for CASP, so it just shows the trend of which provinces that over has not helped the grant to reach 100%, so Limpopo is one of those. Same applies to Mpumalanga. There's some understanding mainly on that CASP, other grants, because it's not big amounts like CASP, they fully spend it. Northern Cape, there's been one of the culprits on most grants, as you can see here, that they've underspent over the years because of challenges that they had, particularly with procurement, especially when they had the flood issues there. Northwest also, they had a trend of underspending over the years. And Western Cape, they did not have problem of that underspending. As I've already indicated, that spending on agricultural grants in the first quarter has been historically poor, with the average in the first quarter in the past 3 years being cast at 11%. But the national department would have transferred 20% to the provinces. With regards to Ilima, average spending has been 8%, but 19% of the grant has been transferred. Land care has been around 6%, and if you look at, in their case, the transfer would have been 10%, which is not bad. But our worry is that this increases borrowing costs, as, I mean, we could have delayed some of the transfers. And from this, our assessment shows that it's quite clear that transfers made to province are made in block percentages, which is not aligned to plan activities in provincial business plans. So we would want that process to be aligned. I've already indicated that most activities around the third grants occur in the third and fourth quarter, and business plans from provinces are aligned to these activities. So all we need is for the transfers from national government to reflect this as well. So already the issue of drought, I've indicated that has impact on performance, with 8 of the 9 provinces over having been detailed disasters in the past, and this also affects performance. I've already indicated the issue of procurement, that also it tends to delay delivery or performance of the grants. Also the issue of capacity, that some provinces don't have dedicated and qualified staff, that affects the type of implementation of the business plan. Also, the issue of the capacity for monitoring, we're saying that needs to be enhanced, because already from 2016-17 and the current financial year, they have earmarked funds from within the CAS grant to ensure that they strengthen their capacity in this regard. So normally we have quarterly reviews with staff to review performance and deal with challenges that provincial departments face. So our colleague Emmanuel normally attend those meetings, and he also participates in the National Assessment Panel for Agricultural Grant Surface Projects and Provincial Departments Readiness to Implement. Although the projects are deemed ready, procurement issues still affect implementation negatively. We also, as National Treasury, host workshops annually, where the National Department and Provincial Departments of Agriculture workshop on the grant framework, conditions, and other compliance issues related to the Division of Revenue Act. Also, as part of our monitoring responsibility, we conduct provincial visits where the performance of agriculture grants, amongst others, is discussed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, National Treasury. Honourable members, you will recall when we dealt with the spending on the conditional grant analysis of all the grants analysis by Treasury. This remark, most activity around the three grants occur in the third and fourth quarter. It's the same as happens with the grants for libraries. That sentence appeared in that presentation as well. So just take note of that. Are there any clarity questions? Because this is straightforward. Is the diagnostic analysis by Treasury of the department? We will now take your department. Can we proceed? On the figures. After all the presentations were done, it appears on your agenda. Do you have the agenda, members?
Yes.
Yes. Just consult your agenda. Thank you to Treasury. Honourable Minister, welcome again. We're going to give you the opportunity to make your input, and then you can direct to the political boss of your department. We will do the presentations. Thank you for honoring the meeting, Minister. Thank you. You may proceed. We propose that you move to the front row.
Oh.
Yeah. We call this business class. Yeah, you're in the front row. Does afternoon is also question time to agriculture and development, etc. So it's an agricultural day for the NCLP. You might listen.
Thanks, Pastor, and thanks to the honorable members. We take note of the report submitted by Treasury. And as a department, we would like to admit that we have picked some of the challenges, and since our strategic planning, we have taken a decision to ensure that where there are weaknesses, we improve. One of those will be to improve monitoring and evaluation to make sure that when funds are made available to provinces for projects, we monitor and we are sure that we can account appropriately. And I will give the Ms. Adamchizana to present our report, but we will make concluding remarks as to what we believe we have planned to do as a department to ensure that we can improve the situation in all the grants referred to.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. I will need assistance to reflect the slide. Thank you. I'm going to share with the committee, as requested, the Kasten Dilema Lisema information as requested by the committee. And my colleague Lydia is going to share with you the land care report. We will go through the background, but National Treasury has touched on the grant goals as well as the information on the grant allocation since inception and some challenges. I will make some slight repetitions to that. Emphasize on the policy imperatives that informs the investment of these grants, locations which has been reflected, I would pass. Then I would emphasize the performance outcomes since 2010-11 as was requested, the impact study results, challenges for the program and what's been done to improve the performance. The highlighted, some reported highlights, it's really just for information for the members. Slide 4. The reason why the program was initiated, as was indicated, was to respond to support beneficiaries of land reform as well as black farmers who have acquired land through private means. But that happened because of the nature of our agriculture, where you had the resource poor, which were not necessarily accessing the supports that exist because of some decisions that we took, where we privatized institutions that used to provide the supports to farmers. And these became far from reach by these African farmers. The goals of the grant were shared. In terms of the policy imperative, we are responding to the mandate of the National Development Plan to create jobs, put 1 million hectares of unutilized land under production, as well as make sure that at least 300,000 smallholders are supported by 2019. We have the responsibility as well to expand 1.5 million hectares of land under irrigation, as well as ensure that there's food security for all South Africans, but more importantly, to ensure sustainable use of natural resources while growing the contribution of the agriculture to the GDP. The figures were shared in terms of when the fund was started with 200 million, and at this point in time, the budget is sitting at 1.6 billion. So overall, we have received over 14 billion if you include the 2017-18 allocation. Ilema Lesema was started, as was indicated, in 2008 with 171 million, but the 171 million was actually a fund taken from the MAFISA to start the program, and it was implemented in Eastern Cape. And it was on the basis of the success that an application was made to National Treasury, and National Treasury started making funds available in 2009, which was 50 million. And the program received significant funding, which increased significantly in 2010. To date, we are sitting at 522 in 2017-18. We have received over 3 billion in this program. This slide is really just to show how we ring-fence the funds. For 2017-18, we thin-cast funds are ring-fenced to support farmers directly. That is the project or the infrastructure budget. And we have funds that are ring-fenced for extension recovery plan, which is strengthening the extension services in South Africa. And we do have funds that we ring-fence specifically to revitalize colleges of agriculture and turn them into centers of excellence. And as was indicated, since 2012, we have received recovery funds to respond to the infrastructural damages that were caused by flood disasters. The total allocation for 2017-18, as I had shared, is 1.6 billion. And the slide also showed their distribution in terms of allocation per province. Because we were meeting, we just thought to share with you the allocations in quota one of 2017-18. As was indicated by the colleague in National Treasury, the first quota expenditure has always been a challenge. This year we started implementing the forcing provinces to demonstrate their cash flow requirements per activity in their business plans, and through our engagement with National Treasury, they allowed that we can actually make a separate disbursement schedule per province, and that significantly increased, because what we used to do would be just an average based on the average performances. For some, it's adequate, but for others, it's not necessarily what they needed at that point in time. And since we implemented this in 2016-17, in quarter one, for example, we would not transfer anything to a province like Mpumalanga because they're not going to be spending the money. They will start based on their activities to spend the money in quarter two. For this quarter in 2017-18, we distributed different schedules to provinces, and a total of about 741 million was disbursed. The actual was just 44%. It's significantly better than the 10% or 11% of the previous financial year. But it was a disappointment once more that even the ones based on the activities could not be spent, but the information we received was once more issues around delays in procurement. With Ilimalitsima, in this current financial year, it is also the same. That shows a significant improvement from your usual 8% spending in quarter one to 33%, because we implemented the disbursement per activity per province. And 33% is also a disappointment. I think there are major challenges around readiness in provinces. The performance outcomes since 2010. Here we, as has been shown in the presentation by National Treasury, is that key deliverables is around farmers supported, both subsistence, smallholder, and commercial. We can provide that indication in terms of the different classifications. The figure that you see here is the combination of the three classifications in terms of farmers. And since 2010, we had added it all up, but because we really do not necessarily have a system that is able to show you that all of them is not necessarily double people. So if you were to do human body count, individual count, the figure, if we add it all, it might not necessarily be true, because the same farmer that received the support in 2010 might have continued in 2011. And because funding was received in 2011, we still count them as the support for 2011. So I just wanted to clarify that. But what is showing is that on an annual basis, we reach at least over 31,000 farmers with CASP funding, and these are supported with your fencing, boreholes, irrigation systems, structures, inputs, and so on. Farmers supported for Ilema Letsema since inception. With Ilema Letsema, you see a huge number of farmers that are reached on an annual basis, over 90,000, on average is over 70,000. And this is because with Ilema Letsema, we are doing, we provide mainly inputs for production, including households, backyards, gardens, to alleviate poverty, but also provide inputs for subsistence producers to produce on 1 hectare, 2 hectares of land, mainly the product, the crop or the commodity that is highly supported is your maize. In terms of jobs, since 2010, as was requested, we have created through CASP about 63,000 jobs that were reported by provinces. The province that reports most jobs is usually in Mpumalanga and the Eastern Cape. Jobs created for Ilema Letsema since 2010-11, we have reported over 110,000 jobs that were repeated, that were reported. And as indicated, these are the 3,000 is the jobs created in that particular year. With jobs, because it's mainly your infrastructural development, in some instances, we do add the jobs that are permanent on farms, as shown, and those that are temporary becomes your construction work, as well as the temporary jobs during seasonal work when harvesting takes place. In terms of farmer supported, since 2010, a total of 122,000 beneficiaries of CASP received training. This includes up to quarter one of 2017. The job, in terms of training, if I were to elaborate on that one, we provide both credit bearing and non-credit bearing. A needs assessment is done on a farmer or a beneficiary of CASP, and the training is based, it's needs based. It's not necessarily a blanket training program that you choose, but you are responding to the gaps that you identify when the needs assessment is conducted. Extension officers which are recruited with the extension recovery plan, as I said, is a fund that we are aiming at strengthening extension services in South Africa. We have a total of there was 1,912 extension officers who were recruited through ERP since 2008. The allocation maintains their salaries. There's been a question on why this does not become part of the equitable share. What we learned from engagement with National Treasury is that it becomes part of the equitable share, the allocation system on the equitable share is not necessarily the same as what we allocate. So ERP, it might advantage other provinces and disadvantage the others, but we are encouraging provinces to factor in these appointments as permanent in their equitable share. Now, in 2014-15, we conducted the impact study with the DPME, and the results of the impact study are as follows. Key to the report that came forward was that there was insufficient progress that has been made by CASP because the scope and coverage of CASP are too wide, resulting in resources being thinly spread. And one of the criticisms was that we don't necessarily provide a comprehensive package to a farm. We have spread the funds too thinly. We come and provide infrastructure and move on to the next, whereas the farmer could have been assisted comprehensively. Although CASP is reaching most of its target groups, it was also found that we have few youth and disabled people who benefited from the program. We also had improvements in agricultural information, which has increased since CAF. About 70% of the respondents indicated that they had access to agricultural information before CASP, whilst the proportion after CASP has increased to 81%. 77% of the 81% were project managers who were satisfied with the quality of information provided. Access to extension and training also improved after CASP, and I think it's really because we are on site now, we are able to provide the support to the people that we are assisting in terms of extension and advisory service. So 84% of project managers included in the evaluation indicated that they received extension service. Our ideal is 100% of supported projects should receive extension service. And this has actually been what was imposed by provinces. Every project is allocated a project manager as well as an extension officer. In the case of farm infrastructure, the largest improvement was recorded for chicken houses. There were 8% before and 21% after CAST, whilst electricity showed the largest improvement for social infrastructure, 58% before CAST, and after the support, 75% of projects who had access to electricity. Therefore, provision of infrastructure is one of the areas in which CASP has made a significant contribution. About 67% of respondents mentioned that accessing product markets is not necessarily easier after CASP. And this we have tried to improve by making sure that we include our SOE PPECD to train and assess these farmers and train them to be SA GAP certified. Because without any certification which assures quality of product, their challenges of accessing market would not necessarily be alleviated. CAST has achieved little progress in terms of promoting commercialization. It was discovered that only 33% of farms can be considered to be commercial. The production of crops and livestock did increase after CAST. Mostly was vegetables, which showed an increase after CASP in 6 provinces, and livestock, the number of animals kept on CASP projects increased significantly by about 296% after CASP. So it was mainly your vegetables and livestock that have significant increase after CASP. Employment also was seen to have improved. The average number of full-time employees per project before and after CASP was 11 and 16 respectively. And part-time also rose from 6 to 14. The challenges for the program, we recorded recurring disaster occurrences. We believe that we need to strengthen our early warning information. That includes daily extreme weather warnings, the monthly advisory, and suggested strategies on how to act upon warnings on farm, but also to sensitize farmers on agriculture-sensitive measures so that they conserve or practice conservation agriculture. Lengthy processes in the authorization of repair work, this has to do with procurement processes that take too long. The remedial that we are looking at is looking at I'm now moving on to the procurement system. Let me read this one. The matter has been taken up with the relevant government departments, both provincial and national. This is the lengthy processes on disaster work, disaster repair work. For example, you have heard the colleague from National Treasury reporting the under expenditure of CASP in the Northern Cape when the disaster occurred. The repair work involves your EIAs, and DAF does not have control over EIAs, your environment. So it forces us to then try and engage the department so that the process could actually be fast-tracked such that the funds can then be implemented. We also have challenges in Western Cape on the repair work as well, just waiting on the EIS to be concluded, and the funds have already been made available. Capacity constraints was mentioned by the colleague, and also the fact that we have received funding to try and strengthen our monitoring capacity as well. Supply chain management is one of the key issues that delays implementation, and we also tried to allocate the funds based on the activities, but also to force provinces to look at emergency supply chain management and procurement systems. Diversion of disaster funds to other programs without the knowledge of DAF, these funds are earmarked. So in instances where provinces embark on this, it's a non-compliance which we are trying to manage, and it would be better managed when we have strengthened our capacity to monitor. The support to farmers is not comprehensive. This has actually come out also from the report, but also it's found by the officials on the ground. And because CASP at this point in time cannot respond to operation capital, there's a need to partner our funds with funding institutions such that it becomes a catalytic fund that it was intended to be. And through Operation Pakisa, we have come up with the re-engineering of the agricultural finance, where we are coming up with a blended fund option for development activities on farms. What's been done to improve performance of CASP and Dilima Lisima? We have tried to narrow the scope, as was said to be wise, and through the development of the agriculture policy action plan, and which is called one of the 9-point plan revitalization of the agriculture and agro-processing value chains, we have identified key commodities which we believe if we respond and target them, we would have the results, or we would be able to increase our contribution to the value chain or to the GDP. All provinces are implementing the RABAC, so no one is expanding their reach beyond the prioritized commodities. And we have received funding from National Treasury to increase our capacity, as was mentioned, and we are in the process of concluding the process on how best do we monitor the conditional grants. I have mentioned the outcome of the Operation Pakisa, where we are blending funds to make sure that we provide a comprehensive response to farmers. We are strengthening partnerships with community organizations. For example, on grain production, we don't work alone. We do work with community organizations like Yochifada, Citrus Growers Association, the Wool Growers Association, to make sure that the farmer receives specialized extension support as well as access to markets, but also to leverage on private funding in that regard. I've mentioned the partnership with PPECB to improve access to markets by these farmers, as well as increasing our capacity with ARC, OBT, as well as PPECB. What I have not included there is also the partnership with NAMC around market access. And we are currently embarking on a South African vulnerability assessment to assist also the planning and the implementation of Dilima Lisima, because with the vulnerability assessment, SA provides you a best eye view in terms of provincial hunger statistics and food insecurity, but it does not necessarily tell you which are the localities, which are the municipalities, which are the households. So with this study, we'll be able to then say if it's 20% in Gauteng, in this district, in these municipalities, these are the whole households, but it would provide us with baseline through which we can then compare our progress moving forward and the impact of our intervention. Thank you, Chair. I'm going to pass on to Ms. Lydia.
Thank you, Chair, and good day, Parliamentary Committee members. I'm going to take you through the Landcare grant. The table of contents, I'm going to refer to the legislative context and as per the list of questions that we needed to answer in terms of budget and expenditure, the rollover that has happened previously, and the program impact and the challenges and the activities that we are dealing with to improve performance. The Landcare program is one of those programs that is responding to the department a legislative mandate in terms of management of natural resources and also to promote the conservation of soil, water, and vegetation and combating of with an invader plants. The program is community-based and therefore facilitate communities to ensure that they make use of their natural resources to improve their livelihoods. And we do this through the expanded public work model whereby jobs are created in the process of managing natural resources. As indicated by the Treasury report, the program has been spending most of their grant since 2010-2011 up until to date. And we also had an additional increase in terms of the fencing grant, which we value so much because if you go to the community and see how fencing contributes to management of natural resources in terms of camps, in terms of restoring sweet fells and good fells, that had a huge impact in those communities where the fencing grant has been piloted. In terms of rollovers, since 2013 we did not have such a rollover. Those which happened previously, it was also due to the nature of community-based projects whereby we have to capacitate communities to understand the procurement and supply chain management processes, and that we at the end received material a bit later, which then we have material that needs to be utilized in the following year. In terms of the grant, surrendering some of those funds. This also happened within the procurement area whereby maybe you, the community have negotiated the contract and then there's some little savings that happened and that money then reflects as a bit of money that is being surrendered but is a smaller amount of around 1,000 or something like that. The outputs of Landcare are mainly land rehabilitated. We look into the area and we rehabilitate the area in terms of either controlling alien invasive, improving the grazing capacity of that area, or if there is land degraded by soil erosion, then we put up the gabions there. So the great measure is we want to have that land put back to production either through cultivation of crops or through livestock production. And in doing that, when communities are building up the infrastructure, such as putting those fences or putting gabions, there are some jobs that are created when they are working on that land. The impact of the program, as indicated, is more on soil care. Soil care in that we improve the soil, fertility of the area, we improve soil care, we are focusing mainly on preserving grazing land. If we check in most communities, cattle happen to be used every weekend, and we believe if we strengthen that area of soil care, livestock area, people could be able to have their cattle locally close by. The focus that we are mainly considering is the control of bush encroachment, because if the soil is not well managed, you will get that there are some grasses that come out of there which are not palatable and become a challenge in terms of a livestock improvement in that area. Of importance also is that if communities have the understanding of which types of grasses they could be able to identify, which is part of the capacity building within those communities, they are able to understand the value of those grasses in their community. We also have the water care focus area where we look into catchments and wetlands. Sometimes you find cattle trapping in those wetlands while there are waterways. So within this program, we have fencing of such important areas so that the area can be protected and they could be headmen looking in those areas for protection of such wetlands. So it's the water care in complementary to the overall health area. We do have the junior care, which is the in-school and out-of-school. The in-school, we are looking into school nurseries. We are also looking into making such nurseries as an area where communities could be able to get some veggies close by. And the out-of-school is more the camps where we are educating them on the value of agriculture, on the need for environmental, taking care of environment. We have the focus area of conservation agriculture, where we are encouraging best practices to land management. In there, we are talking to no tillage, and such that you find, if even if you walk through the farming area, the area that are protected, the soil is not moved by wind and all those things, but the areas that are not protected, that which the areas that are protected which have permanent cover, there is less erosion, and that topsoil is very critical for crops to grow, either grasses or veggies. So in this area, we are also developing a policy at this stage which is going to support this area as a complementary to deal with best practices that are guiding all those who are involved in the farming sector to be able to follow when you are dealing with practices of minimizing soil erosion. And therefore, based on all this focus area, we see this allocation very minimal, as you could realize that even in the previous years, the expenditure of that grant has been always 100%. The challenges that we are picking up in the program is that even though we create more jobs, the grant is not growing, and we hope that in years the grant should be able to grow and be able to address all those focus areas, because if you go to a community, land is the only thing that is going to improve people's livelihoods, either by planting crops or by making sure that what they produce, they add value out of it. We also we see the need to ensure that there are land care groups that are supported. We believe that this is a community-based. If people understand why they are engaged in those areas, they are able to, even when government is not there, create necessary partnership. And therefore, one of the land care principle is partnership. But how people could be able to build partnership is when they are educated to see how they can link with who, and you bring in those people to their community for them to be able to engage with them. And therefore, land care groups is one of the critical elements, and it's also reflected within the Conservation of Agricultural Resources Act, in which is one of those structures that are very critical in the communities, for communities to engage and for communities to get assistance from government and other partners. This program also is addressing a number of international obligations, such as the United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification. We are just coming from the Conference of Parties, which all country parties are encouraged to have land degradation neutrality targets within the countries. And this program is one of those which is assisting us to ensure that as a country we manage the land, we reduce and minimize those activities that are going to create land degradation. And it's also one which is an enabler for us to achieve sustainable development goals. For people to be able to reduce hunger, they should be able to produce food close by, and through land rehabilitation we are able to do that. We also at some stage find some duplication, but in this area how we are trying to manage it is that we ensure that all those government departments that are having resources to be able to implement, we are trying to, through the policies such as conservation agriculture policy, the guidelines that farm plans, so that they are able to understand the importance of farm planning and which resources can be utilized in terms of farm management. And those departments, we are working collectively with them. Activities that we are improving the program is that we are trying to align the organizational structure with the provinces to ensure that certain competencies are within the same area, so that when you need someone to design a structure, that is within the same functional area. we are also trying to have a combination of equitable and conditional grant in terms of aligning and say what is this grant doing on ground and what is the equitable share complementing to this grant. We are also considering the improvement in terms of management of information. We realize that there are some of the areas that we could not be able to monitor and work into those areas, but things like GPS and all those systems could be able to assist us in monitoring those areas which we cannot be able to reach. We see the value in terms of working around communities, groups, so that they can be formalized, because if they are formalized, those through the land care groups, they could be able to procure, they could be able to exchange information that will better enable them to manage land better. We also see the need to have additional resources focusing on the, youth. We see that area as very critical also as conservation agriculture, basically due to climate change that we're experiencing, that some practices need to be discouraged and some good practices need to be encouraged. We also need see the area where we can improve in terms of having a support mechanism for traditional authorities in Cape land degradation. We believe if we hold hand in hand collectively with the traditional authority, we could be able to manage some of those land degradation where people are building houses where the slopes or things are not supposed to be built, or maybe they're building within the wetlands. Those things are some of the things that we can engage, and if we engage and have that support from the traditional authorities, we'll be able to manage some of those land degradation areas. I thank you.
Anything to add? Yes. Thanks, Chairperson, all of the members. I would like to say this. We want to make this submission as a department that we have not been able. We want to concede the fact that we have not entirely been successful in creating black industrialists as envisaged in the Nasa Policy Action Plan, as only 33% of the farms supported are considered to be commercial in nature. And to add that DAF will seek to align the project objectives with the outcomes of Operation Pakisa, whose emphasis is on transforming the agricultural sector towards an inclusive rural economy. And we'd like to say that we have taken into account the report of the Auditor General in highlighting the need for improved systems for monitoring and evaluation, which report was given by the finance, and we agree 100% that we cannot even come here to argue against that. And we believe, and as a department in September, we had a session. We're looking at strategic realignment, and we agreed that the department has to make sure that we have to improve in this area. And one of the areas is to transform the section that deals with a CASP allocation. That is, the people person who receives CASP is not the one who decides who receives it. And also to create monitoring and evaluation. Already we do have that branch in the department. Mm-hmm. It's just to make sure that we use. And we're looking also at the issue of working with our extension services, because we do have that capacity in provinces, so that for each and every project so identified, there can be verifiable information given. Those are the steps we're going to take, and we believe that we won't come again to this committee presenting the same report. And also on the issue of land care, I want to add to say that there are benefits if we can be able to promote the no-tillage system. It does not only save you the soil from being run away when you have got issues like heavy rains, but also it also reduces the petrol, sorry, the diesel you use, and also contributes in reducing the emissions. And there's been proof made that if people can be encouraged to use that system, we can be able to save government a lot of money. And I think that we need to realign our systems. with our four entities that have been mentioned. You deal with OPP in terms of livestock, in that if we can produce the relevant vaccines at comparable prices and assist small-scale farmers, we can be able to save numbers. If we work with TPCB, because already we have signed an agreement with one of the companies like Tiger Brands, where we want to make sure that the produce of our small-scale farmers can be able to sign take-off agreements with such companies. But we can only do that if you improve the quality of produce, that I mean, quality of production. The issue of the National Marketing Council to find and assist our small-scale farmers, as well as ARC in also looking at new cultivars. As we are going to be dealing with the issue of climate change, we cannot run away, but the only way to do is to ensure that we improve adaptation and also we're able to work with the systems. And we need to agree that science and technology is the only way that can be able to assist us as a department to mitigate. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. A very important presentation, Honourable Members. This department, together with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, is there to support our farmers to produce food for our people. That's how serious it is. And I recognized again yesterday at that event in my constituency, looking at those people who are poor people. The other thing that came out is the whole thing about skills and expertise. That is what we need. We need the economic growth of 5% in terms of the NDP, what we want to achieve. We need at least 3% to make a dent. We're battling to get to 1%. So the money that's allocated must be spent wisely. If you've got a rent, you must stretch the rent to do more with it. Honourable Members, I've made a lot of remarks here. I'll come back to that when we wrap up. Questions on the Paul Motla Shopping. We are representing provinces, so the question will have a provincial angle. The Honourable Motla Shopping is from Northwest. Yeah, it's very dry there. It's my neighbor province. Then Gauteng is Honourable Motara from Gauteng. Honourable Terblanche is from Western Cape. He comes here from Mossel Bay, George, Southern Cape actually. Anyone else? Honourable Nzimandi, where the sun rises in KZN. They had lots of rain and storms. When you take a map of South Africa and you look at the N1, Messina to Cape Town, everything on the east is getting more rain than on the west. Yes. Then you can see the challenges we have as a country. That's why we made the remark about the spending. Honourable Motla Shopping?
No. Good morning.
Yeah, we saw there was a reshuffle. My secretary just showed me, Mr. Minister, you are still safe. About the shipping, please use your mic.
You have 99.7% achievement in terms of percentage. doesn't, you immediately the following year, financially dropped. And so it goes, it fluctuates, just like that. From 2004, 2005 to 2016-17. If you could explain here, is it because of poor planning? Is it because of unreasonable targets that you have set? Or what is it all about? Now, our researcher has brought to my attention, for an example, that you have on the same slide, when you go to number of projects for 510 projects, and you have 46,500 beneficiaries. And then you have 400 projects with 25,000 beneficiaries. From a layman's point of view, if I look at these figures and say, but here there's a lot of projects, there lesser projects, more beneficiaries, here lesser, more projects, lesser beneficiaries. I'm sure you get my point. On your slide 13, I'm not sure why are you using that word. On average, there's 1,945 farmers supported. On average. If you support two people, it's two people. It can't be average. Now, I don't understand. Maybe if you can clarify. And if you could also, National Treasurer, explain to us why are you taking the responsibilities of agricultural colleges from provinces to national, and national having such a lot of challenges at the moment because they have not been spending their budget adequately. No, those were my questions. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mota Shipping, Honorable Motara.
Thanks, Chair. I think let's thank the department for the presentation. At least both the Department and National Treasury and even the Minister's input and response is alluding to the fact that they are, monitoring challenges. Let me not call it accounting challenges. I think it's monitoring challenges. I think maybe also possibly not questions, it could be question and comment, that could be things that both the Department and Treasury could take into consideration when improving their monitoring. The first is, for instance, your CASP. I've made so much of notes. I'm just trying to find. Okay, your CASP is targets beneficiaries of land reform restitution. Now, your underperformance or your monitoring and evaluation, is it linked to the land restitution, land reform restitution and redistribution also having its own challenges? So that is creating unintended consequences on the CASP. And what is your relationship with your sister department in that respect? And then how do you mitigate against that? Because your beneficiaries for CASP are amongst them are those of the land reform and restitution and redistribution. And then maybe if you can just at a high level perhaps just indicate what is the process for accessing the funding for those who have acquired land through private means in relation to CASP. Is it dealt with nationally or through provinces? What exactly is the process? And then your Ilima Letsema, how do you identify the
it's a process. How do you identify the beneficiaries of the grant? The other is your grant on, and I'm not sure now if it's the last grant that you have, which also deals with rehabilitation from floods. Who accounts for that? Because if it is taking place at a municipal level, where the that infrastructure has been damaged at a municipal level, and I'm just imagining what has happened in KZN, for an example, now. You have the disaster management centers at national, provincial, and local level. How do you move funds, and then who accounts for what? Because I would imagine that who accounts for and how that monitoring, that process gets monitored may also pose a number of challenges. And it's something that we've raised as this committee to National Treasury, is that you have a number of grants, and I think I even see that now, it's our first engagement with this department, is that you have a number of grants, a lot of the grants cut across, whether it's into provinces or into municipalities. The issue then becomes who accounts for it, who monitors it, and that sort of thing. And I don't know whether National Treasury has got those clear terms of references for the grants, or whether the business plan and the accessing of the grants is sufficient. Because, like I'm saying, I'm just imagining the situation with KZN. If you must move money into, let's say, Tekwini Municipality, Disaster Management Center, they would then account for all of that fund. That's logic. But what happens to, for instance, yourself as a Department of Agriculture, Forests and Fisheries? And I think those are some of the areas that will have to be ironed out for your MNE to be a real true reflection of what exactly is happening in the department. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mutara. Mr. Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you, and thank you to the Minister, Department and Treasury for being here. Minister, I want to start, you know, by saying to you that this is a project that is really very close to my heart. And I've been very fortunate, Chairperson, that during our provincial week, last week, that we've been exposed, Minister, to some of these projects. you know, Chairperson, with your permission, I'm just going to make a few remarks, and then I have, you know, just some small questions for clarity. The idea that, you know, you are getting, I've been, as I said, exposed to some of these projects, and I have been very impressed with some of the things that I saw, to be honest. And you know what I also learned, that apparently you don't need large patches of land to run successful projects like this. We have been, for instance, to the people from agriculture, we went to Philippians and we saw what the people are doing there. And the one lesson that I've learned there as a chairperson is that we need to adapt what we are doing to local conditions. Because, you know, that is, you know, a place where not a lot of water is used and water are recycled. It can be used over and over again. And I just think about a place like your province, for instance, where a similar project or similar projects can be pursued. You know, then also the stuff that they grow there is organic. They have a market for that. They have an agreement with, you know, big shoppings, you know, like, for instance, Woolworth and so on. So what I'm trying to say, that is really very, very good. Then, Minister, we've always also been exposed to junior care school at Worcester, that they have their own vegetable garden, and I was so impressed with that kids are doing there. You know, coming back to Philippi again, and that is one of my questions, sir. How many people have we been able through this project to get to a point where they can become independent farmers? We met a woman there. She was sent to a college also. She got training. And Chairperson, she's on the brink of, you know, going out and start her own thing. And I think that is what we want to get, you know, enabling people, you know, to, through this project, develop into, you know, get some sort of independence. Now, just a little bit, Minister, on the negative side, some projects that we visited also in the past, it wasn't during this week, you know, the impression that one gets is that, you know, maybe there are not proper guidance always. People are tackling the wrong thing for the environment where they are. There's not proper training, and then again, you know, they might even be left to their own resources after some time. And then coming back to the care part again, Minister, and I know this is a cross-cutting thing, it's going to be the responsibility of other departments as well. But for instance, if you go to the Eden district where from where I am, there is huge potential, you know, to root out those alien plants and stuff like black wattle, and really, I really think that, you know, we can save a lot of water also by doing that. In short, Chairperson, I really want to congratulate the Minister and the Department for what they are doing. But I think a lot more can be done. I really think that agriculture can be a vehicle where we can, first of all, create a lot of jobs, where we can, you know, go a long way in, you know, establishing food security. South Africa is still a country where we have a lot of malnutrition, and people, you know, not always have food security. Thank you, Chairperson. As I said, this is something that I will really support from my side. You know, I think they need to get a bigger budget. Thank you.
On the 26th of October, 12:30, you got that opportunity to tell it to the Minister of Finance.
I will
when
do that.
When you leave on the MTBBS. Yes. Just note it in your diary, Honourable Zamandi.
Thank you, Chairperson. my questions might not so much on the spending patterns and trends, Chair, but now that the Minister is also here and fresh from the provincial week last week in KZN, first one, Chair, first question would, we visited a tea estate in Inkandla, which is producing the best quality tea. I think it's ranked number three in the whole world. And the issues there, Chair, relates to, for instance, I think in the Treasury report, they presented that, I think 2013-14, thereabouts, KZN was underspending. Might not be a relevant grant, but what came out of that estate's concern is that they, since 2012-13, thereabouts, fertilizers was stopped. Not because they wanted to be organic with the tea, but because just government stopped providing fertilizers for the estate itself. And obviously, I mean, from that time, you are not providing land, you're not providing care to the land and making it fertile enough, and I guess even treatment of that land. And that's a sole employer in Inkandla, so to speak, Chair, that is original from Inkandla. And it's got growth potential, I mean, to go up to 600 hectares of production, to, you know. So the question then, Chair, is that the overall question would be, what are the projections on this grant of the land care? And I'm relating that to what was going to be my question, on which was asked by Honorable Mudara, relating to damages to land and that kind of thing. But also, Chair, linked to that was the angle of, you know, in KZN there's these hectares in rural areas where the chiefs have made 100 hectares available to communities. That land generally is not treated, not taken care of, so rehabilitated properly. So in essence, you make the land available, 100 hectares for them, but it's not helped to produce food security as is intended. So, I mean, even when we debate here with, you know, amongst ourselves here, Chair, when people are talking about the land acquisition and expropriation, we are pointed to your homelands, to your lands that are lying idling somewhere and this and that, but nobody talks to this land care. So the question of growth projections on the ground, you know, Jay, it would be important to touch base with here. What does it look like? Secondly, the colleges, Chair, glad politically the minister is here. I would like to understand as well, I think Mutashu Ping touched on this question, and that is the issue of, you know, the rationale of taking the colleges to national, and would that assist if we are serious about the success of CASP and the other grant? Wouldn't the move, the migration to national, affect easy access, or is there a component that will adjust that training is that entry to such services of the college, even if, you know, creating packages that will be relevant to people who would not go on a big scale commercial agriculture, so to speak, for the colleges. Whilst I understand, you know, we're looking at, you know, that part of skilling and artisanry and that kind of thing in the college, but I think there is a component of how do we then create, packages, learning packages for the ordinary people, particularly those that are beneficiaries of CASP. Those are the questions, Chair, that I wanted to raise. Thanks. Oh, yeah, the last one, Chair. We also visited the ITs at Richards Bay, by the way, Chair. And, still not a good news, but I think others are saying that it's good news from the presentation. But the one part of it is that they want to grow. They want to acquire land. And they're having issues with the subtitling because of the land determined to be agricultural and them wanting to do business on the land. And the issues of the license. I know it's, as I was saying, Chair, that one of the questions is really to grab the opportunity if the department is able to make a comment on that, where there is the issue of the competition between your economic development, like in that ITZ area, and the determined or zoned land for agriculture. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chimandi. I recognize Honorable Isaac from Mpumalanga.
Thank you for the opportunity, Chair. Chair, just quickly on a lighter note, Honorable Nzimande, with due respect, did not allude to whether he was invited for tea at Nkandla last week. But nevertheless...
That's not part of the agenda.
I respect that, Chair.
Yeah.
Chair, as Minister, with due respect, but most of my questions, Chair, are more aligned towards National Treasury and the report that was given to us at the beginning. I wanted to raise two questions, but my colleague, Honorable Mutala, covered in her questions what I wanted to raise, so I'm not going to duplicate for the sake of time. To National Treasury, I just want to check on slide 4, specifically on Mpumalanga, I'm struggling with due respect between slide 4 and slide 5, specifically on Mpumalanga, I'm struggling to marry the numbers in terms of the graph. So perhaps you just want to, you know, simplify to me between slide 4 and slide 5 specifically on Mpumalanga. Then I wanted to quickly, Chairperson, on National Treasury's report, slide 7, right at the bottom, where you allude to the transfer of funds to provinces does not correspond with the activities and cash flow requirements in the provincial business plans, hence the significant unspent funds in provincial bank accounts. Now, you mentioned that on slide 7, and you mentioned the very same point again on slide 19. Now, obviously, I can see this is, it seems to be a huge issue. I'd just like to hear comments on how does National Treasury plan to expediently attempt to resolve this within the next or the following quarter. And again, on slide 7, you alluded to the poor planning in provinces, which results in poor performance due to a lack of competent and dedicated staff to manage the grant. I'd like to hear the comments in terms of what is the serious way forward in the next quarter. And then finally, Chairperson, there was just one question, and then I am done. On slide 31, the third bullet, DAF's capacity for monitoring must be enhanced to identify weaknesses and support service delivery in provinces. Funds were allocated to DAF to enhance capacity, but thus far, very little progress has been made in filling these posts. Again, you know, what are the outcomes in terms of the way forward? How are we going to address this if we are to get the next report when we engage with the department again to see a turnaround? Chairperson, thanks. I'm going to stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Excuse me, Honourable Minister and the department. On slide 20 in the CUSP presentation, the remark is being made that there was little progress in terms of promoting commercialization. Only 33% of the farms can be considered to be commercial. The achievement by CUSP. Can you elaborate more? What are you doing to enhance that? The other remark came, land care groups not supported by all provinces. We will have to go deep into this, my members, in our own province. Go and see why are they not supporting it. Because there's a reason this program is there. Some departments' programs are duplicated. Now, this is a very important point made in the presentation. And I refer to the Department of Environmental Affairs and Nature Conservation. In my province, up to 2004, this department was together with agriculture. In 2004, it was split. MEC for Environmental Affairs and Nature Conservation. And I must tell you, are we effective? We must look at that. Looking at the minister's remarks as well, it's one thing we'll have to consider seriously, seeing that our national budget is under severe pressure. I think what must also be done, maybe you've done it, Minister, is the evaluating the drought relief program that has just been rolled out in several provinces. My province is the biggest province in the country, Northern Cape, with a few hiccups because the service provider transporting the drought relief was in Hartswater and had to travel to Garies. That's 921 kilometers from Hartswater. I think if it is decentralized in a regional way, it can be more effective and done at a quicker pace. Just looking at the size of the province and the type of vehicles that's been used. I'm a very practical person because I was there when it was delivered. I just looked at this vehicle and said, hey, this one can't go on gravel roads. Forget it. that's one key. Yes, in the northern part of Eastern Cape, bordering on KZN, there was tea plantations. Yeah, in the late 80s, Yes, I was there. It was incredible to look at this. There's a potential. We've got Plan William T, and then we've got the project in Northern Cape at Newtville, and they're struggling a bit. To get their product on the shelf, you can't buy the Checkers, Pick and Pay, etc. You can just buy their Newtville, where they produce it. So something's wrong somewhere. Looking at the money being pumped in, what's coming out? And there's huge potential there. The climate is fine. It's up on top of the mountain. Between Van Rensdorp and Kalfinia, you get Newtville. Is that tea? But Clan William tea, you can buy at all the shops on the N7. Yes. And they're not far apart. So I'm just mentioning that to you. Coming back to nature conservation, dash land care, dash agri-parks, Department of Rural Development, that's closer cooperation on the members. It's crucial. We want agri-parks to succeed. And I saw it now when we had the Deputy Minister of Rural Development in Springbok, looking at that presentation. It's intertwined. It's not two separate things running its own programs. It must be interlinked. I'm just making these few remarks. I've got a couple more when I do the wrap-up. Minister, over to you and your team.
Thanks, Sebastian. I'll take a few of the questions and leave the others to staff members. I'm happy about the good news and the report from Honorable Telebranche and the other members. And I think we have got a long way to go. But I want to start by saying that I have made a concession to say that we have observed after the report of the AG the fact that we have to change the way monitoring and evaluation of CASP is done, such that we can be able to put our finger on the pulse of the project initiation up to the end. Even to look at the exit strategy, the issue that was raised to say, what programs do you have, such that when a farmer has to exit the program, she can independently be on her own. And linked to that is the issue I've raised about partnering with some of the major food chains, like Tiger Brands, Pioneer Foods, Pick and Pay. It is through those programs, using our entities to guarantee, because some of, especially in the fresh produce, produce area, you need to ensure that the quality of the product is guaranteed so that it reaches the market in a fresher situation. Those are areas we are working on, and I think that we will be able to improve from here. Honorable Sping from Northwest, I think on the issue of spending patterns, there will be an answer to that as to say why has there been these different patterns. And why do we use average instead of coming up with the right figures? I'm sure they will answer. Anand Mutala in Gauteng, I agree with you, and your question on monitoring is touching on the issue I've made that we concede. But after our strategic planning, we believe that our department needs to be more linear at national office and more focused. Instead of having 8 DDGs, we can have 4. And use the savings thereof to look at strategic areas of project management and other areas. So that way interlink with farmers is improved. Those are issues I think when we come back with the reporting on the progress thereof. On issue of land reform restitutions, I think the answer will come. But my question that I have been asking that the two departments must deal with is that at what form are these farms sold to government? Why do all of them need to be recapped? What if it is a livestock farm? I mean, with 400 cattle and the Honorable Nzimande receives that from government, he should be able to find that farm still operational with 400 animals on the farm. Not to wait until government. I think there's something we need to look at. And I think, and also agree that
when the Department of Land Reform acquires the farm, at the point of handover, our department is at the gate, so that there's no gap between the two processes. And I'm sure the answers can be. But we're working on that, and there's more cooperation in dealing with that with that area. But I think, and also with the issue of people who acquire their land through their private means, I'm sure that question will be answered. Disaster management. I think what we need to say is the current act really addressing our challenges? If you look at climate change, we are able now to know that in the next 2 years there will be an El Nino, which means there will be a drought. What programs we put up? We are more like waiting for the tail, because it is the Department of Local Government that must declare an area disaster area. Already, disaster has struck. But we have been able to foresee that there are possibilities of drought, possibilities of a number of disasters. Why can't we say that when we observe those, the president just passes a decree that says to small-scale farmers, cull your animals while they are still they are able to be sold into cash money. Mm-hmm. You've got 800 cattle, because the capacity of some of the rural sites are not equal to the task at hand. When drought hits, they are the first to shed many cattle. You say to farmers, please, sell a number of your cattle, put money in the bank. When this climatic condition changes, you go and buy. And I'm sure we can go a long way in dealing with those. We know that we'll be having, instead of planting a maize, why don't you plant sorghum? That is more resistant than maize. So that we use that information, because science has shown us that you can be able to preempt all those things and advise accordingly, than the current situation where you wait until the heavy rains fall in KZN, you visit the municipality, and even in the Western Cape, there have been big fires around Nice and other areas. You must wait until the government meets, declares a disaster, then the IMC of ministers meets, only then to funding. The other area is to train our officials in disaster management tactics. I think it must not be linked to corruption. When money is made available, it sees other processes. That is one area I think as departments are dealing with this area, we need to make sure that when those funds are made, the issue you have raised, Chairperson, that I saw the sizes of bales that were bought to say, if you're a small-scale farmer, how do you load this bale on your van? And sometimes the feed is dropped off 60 cases to the place where farmers are. I think we need to look at that. Even to promote maybe the production of seed in localities by farmers, that instead of all of you planting maize, planting of grass is one area we need to promote. I think those are things that we need to get in as the department, especially land care. I want to add to it, land care, to say that we serve on the same committees on the global arena with the Department of TIA. The challenge we have been faced is that as a department, we are saying now we will be able to apply for funding, because the amount of funds that we have cannot but be able even to dent the scale of what we are saying. The issue of water harvesting is very key. In all the major areas, your shortage of water is drawn out, and one of the causes sometimes of the fires in winter is because of the avian growth that easily catches fire in winter. Those are areas, but I think the global funds are available. You deal with deforestation, you deal with desertification, you deal with soil degradation. There are programs. We need to make sure that as a department working with DIA, we make applications for that, so that we can be able to bring back our soils back to productivity. And I agree to say who accounts for that in all these funds. I think we need to make sure that that's why we have been to agricultural operation PAGIFA. That report is coming. It will show that the Department of Land Reform, agriculture, must work together in some of the areas, so that we have got one stop funding model. Instead of a person applying for recap, coming back to CAST,
And they found something we need to teach our small-scale farmers is that it is not all that you must produce that must you must wait for government to make funding. We need to create a space for soft loans for our small-scale farmers so that they begin to appreciate that farming is a business. So we need to teach them and also to ensure that they get the basic financial modeling such that they can manage their own products. Those are issues I think we can, in working together with other departments. Honorable Senator Branch, I already said thanks for the good views. I agree with you. Organic production is one of the key issues we need to focus on, as it reduces also the soil degradation through the usage of chemicals. We need to promote the usage thereof. There are many models we can go to. The issue of worm farming, the issue of other models, the issue of organic production is the areas we need to train our farmers on. I think some of the questions we will be taken through. I agree with everybody who says food security is key. To sleep knowing that 13.7 people in this country go to bed without food. We need to promote even, yes, yesterday when we were in Kwakwa, a very drought-prone area, we were able to see that farmers have been, I mean, some of the farmers were the first time for them to plant a crop called asparagus. But the key thing that we need to do is to ensure that how do we make sure that funding from government, especially from Treasury, in the form of jobs fund, can also be accessed by small-scale black farmers, instead of them waiting for other mediaries who apply on their behalf. We need, but of course, if they cannot account properly, those are areas we need to look at, because we can't say give funding to people who cannot account on the jobs they have created. Those are either the things we need to have a debate on. The issue of small hectares, I agree to say, if we can take the view that not all farms should be on site, it is the systems we put that must improve. I am always impressed by the European form of agriculture, where you find that people are for small, they are more like village farms, where farming and living. And I think we need to access this because with the expansion of informal settlement, for a better word, of an undefined housing program, I was saying to why would a farmer continue to plant maize that can easily be accessed by anybody? You can change the grass production, nobody will cut your grass. If you plant maize, you will compete with people who are unemployed next to you. Not that they don't even have food, but you didn't plant to make sure that people have got food. You planted to make money. We need to train our farmers in different forms of production. TSD. I think we need to do a study of where was the concept developed. It was one of the brand systems of the past government. And TSD, I know too. I've been to next one in Limpopo, in Makhubas Kloof. The question is, are they still the most viable methods? Because you plant trees and you plant leaves, processing thereof, in most instances, even if it is lucrative, makes business, that you don't plant, you don't process that tree, you lose the value thereof. You don't market. In some of the areas, we can look even in cases where you diversify your land usage. In most areas where tea is grown, you can find that some of the high-value fruits, like avocado, would do very well. And avocado market is quite very huge in Europe. Guys who are engaged there make good money. We should look at different commodities like hemp. I mean, there's no more now that restriction on hemp. Although it looks like marijuana is a family, no one would smoke hemp. And through hemp, you can make a number of different medicinal products. We need to promote such crops. But I'm not saying that we say that. I think as a department, we should do research. In some of the areas, it's not owned by the department, by the way. It's owned by IDC in the Eastern Cape. It's called TRAP. And I think the role of trust and agriculture needs a debate. Because whenever a group of people get their land, a group of people form themselves into a trust.
Yeah.
In most instances, they don't enter into production. They end up leasing that land, and they start to receive. Those are kind of the issues I think we need to deal with together with our development, the development of land reform. The issue of land care, I can agree 100%. I mean, in KZN, we should be working to say what will be needed to make sure that any land degradation caused by those heavy rains is dealt with. I know whenever there are these hurricanes and storms, small scale, but the vegetable industry loses their soil as well as the rationale for taking up the colleges. I think the answer is in this statement. If they spend 20% of the allocated funding, what is the problem? The issue should be what kind of model, what kind of programs, what kind of syllabi do we come up with, such that it also assists the small-scale farmer. It does not only train those who must acquire academic qualifications. Even farmers can be trained in a vernacular of their own choice. I think the rationale, therefore, is the fact that, remember, those colleges were run down, most of them. We have to have funding so that we can put them into space. I can speak of one province, I won't mention the name, where the college was turned into a university when the need was for cattle production. We need to look at all those things and say, can provinces be the custodian of running them alone? Of course, there will be partnership. We can't say we'll take them to us, because when we develop programs as well as syllabi, we need to talk to provinces. Agriculture, by the way, is a concurrent function. We can't rule out provinces and also municipalities. So I don't think the statement is meant to say want to take them to head office. No. We are speaking of how should we make sure that we account for funding and that funding is spent accordingly. And we set standards and norms that must be applicable in all the areas. I've been to some. A college built in 1911 in Middleburg is of a very good standard. I've been there. And I've spoken to the principal. And I've said to them, how to use this, that some of the programs of government are used to attract the youth for employment. I've been to Fort Cox and their programs. And I'm sure, having signed the MOU with Denmark on PIGAR, we need to make sure that such studies are also extended to our colleges. Because piggery is going to be one of the biggest industries going forward. As the deal, already we know that we are on the verge of signing an MOU with India, and 1.4 billion people, they are looking for pork. And if we can make sure that we grow that industry, I'm sure in a long way, because you're not only dealing with pork, I'm sorry to mention maybe the meat to those who don't consume it, but it is a business venture. You don't have to enjoy it more than people who enjoy it. You know, but if you want to deal with one of the challenges, you look at piggery. For instance, in piggery or in agri, there's no waste. What you call waste can be changed into biogas production. You can even achieve your organic production by using the manure thereof. So there are many options. You don't have to eat it. But I'm sure if you sell it, you will make money. Another good member.
You won't like the money. Yes.
I give that usage of land. I think the reason we have come up with the Delta as an act is because if you look at the 1970 Act, it does not talk to our current situation. In 1970, production was very high. Now, if a farm has been lying idle for 6 years, sometimes some farmers can even let people to build their own structures on the farm. When he comes and apply, what methods do you use to say to him, this is agricultural land? And I can tell you, we don't have much of agricultural land that is arable in our country. We compete with farming, we sort of with mining, and also new development. So when we take the applications, we look to look at that when we do subdivision of agricultural land. And I repeat, if PDEFA can go through, it can be better, because once the land is lost, in most instances, it's difficult to bring it back to food production. evaluating the drought relief program. I can assure you, I won't go deep with them, but some of the staff members in the department have been charged for suspicion that in the outlay of the program, there have been other programs that have taken place. But because that are sub-judicate, it is the same also with Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. What I'm saying that the challenge is how to promote people to be knowing very well that land care is not about making it easy money for yourself. Because, for instance, you find that you buy a bale of feed for three. I mean, one province submitted that they bought a bale of lucerne at 1,000. I said, but in my own area, a bale of lucerne was that time 80 rand, 90 rand, 840 only in winter. Where does this one come from, 1,000 rand? Those are challenges we need to deal with as we go forward. But those are areas I think if we improve our evaluation and monitoring, we can be able to nip them on the bud. Nature conservation and agri-parks. I agree to say that the two departments must work more closely so that we can be able to achieve the benefits of or on the funding at our disposal. I did not answer each and every question, as I know that there are people who are higher skilled than I am who can take these things off.
I'm not a shop steward now for the department, but one crucial point is, honourable members, the recap function has been shifted from rural development to agriculture, but the funding didn't come with. That is one of the challenges which we experience in my province. So I'm just mentioning it here. When we deal with the MTPBS, the thing must feature.
Chairperson, we're fed to the department. If there's no funding accompanying that function, there can be no such. Because what has happened before was that of the funds available to acquire land, 25% of that was taken for recap. If they're not going to do that continuously, therefore there is no way we can agree to take off because we're playing with our farmers. The department will continue to dispense off recap until such time that there's a separate funding that is put aside for that particular activity.
You may proceed with your reply.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. On the question of the 510 projects versus the beneficiaries and the 400 versus the 25,000, Honorable Member, when we presented particularly also the impact study, it was also shown that in the beginning, the scope and coverage of CASP was too wide and the resources were thinly spread. Hence, you had little impact as seen today. For example, in 2004, the program had only 200 million, but it was disbursed to 46,000 beneficiaries. And you can then see that the resources were indeed thinly spread. What has since happened is that because it's a comprehensive program, we determined the standard operating procedure together with National Treasury, and we agreed that the support to a farmer, if we say we have supported, you need to be supporting them to a point at which they break even. As Minister has indicated, we are dealing particularly on land reform beneficiaries with farmers who are on farms but are not necessarily having the resources to produce food. So you need then to be doing a comprehensive assessment of what these resources are that they need to produce food, because at the stage at which they are at, they are only having land, but they cannot even attract any loan funding. So we bring the required infrastructure to stimulate productivity, and we provide immediate inputs. The next financial year they have produced, they can then access funding to run the operations from land bank. It would be better if you already are supporting an enterprise that is having a going concern, but in these instances, this is not the case. And hence, you'd see that in 2016, we had 1 billion for direct project support, which went to about 400 projects, supporting 25,958. The other issue that we had to clean up was when we looked in terms of the definition for beneficiaries. On land reform, if you look at LRAD, you'll find out that a 40-hectare plot is allocated to 20 beneficiaries. A 200 hectare plot is allocated to 3,000 beneficiaries. So those become, and with the 3,000 beneficiaries, only 10 of them are actually farming. You know, the list in terms of the allocation per individual that allowed them to then purchase a farm ended by default in one farm allocated to a group, a number of people, which in itself became a challenge for agriculture, which resulted in a number of conflicts and so on. But since the introduction of PLUS, we see families being allocated to farmland, which becomes easier with less conflict. So hence the decrease in the numbers that you see there. The farmers supported on average, as I indicated, it would have been easier to just add up the numbers per year and get to a point to say we have supported so many farmers. But if you look at the reports on an annual basis, we know that some of the projects are ongoing. So the same farmer who was supported this year would be the same farmer who's continuing for the next coming 3 years receiving the support. For example, we have one of the highlights, a project, Macadamia, has been a beneficiary of our program since 2005. But it's because based on the business plan and the development that is happening on site, we know how much money it requires, and every year we disburse certain tranches to achieve certain milestones and targets for the project. So for that particular year, you need to account for them because they are receiving the fund, but if you add them, you would have added them since 2005. And this gets back to a point which was made that we're looking at an information management system, because with an information management system, you can then talk to the actual bodies that actually received the funding, as in actual enterprises. So it's safer to talk to the project, because the project tells you the different actual enterprises, but of those projects, how many people benefited, talk to the beneficiaries of those projects. And with the farmers, I think on average, we're just trying to say we can't tell you 5,000 plus 110,000 plus 96,000, therefore we have supported 300,000. It would not necessarily be truthful. I hope I did not confuse you there. And we could still have left it and said farmers supported per year. In 2010 it was 5,000, in 2011 it was 100,000, and leave it at that. If on average was a confusion, we can immediately just remove it. The question by Honorable Mutala on the target land reform beneficiaries and what is our relationship with rural development, I think the Minister has tried to respond to it. How are the farmers accessing funds? Is that we have, as I indicated, and Minister has indicated, agriculture is a concurrent function. We set up standards and standard operating procedures. We allocate the funds based on a weighted average to provinces, and the province then is guided by the standard operating procedure to, one, set up committees at local level, at district level, and at provincial level. That's where they finalize now the plans. But key to what is proposed is that they need to advertise the availability of the program through the extension officers, as well as put an advert in the paper so that farmers can know about the support and they can then come forward to their local offices to ask for support. An extension officer is expected to go on site, do the assessment, assist the farmer with the application, and then the committee will now evaluate on the basis of the allocation that they receive. And key to this, which I really need to highlight, is that the resources are really not enough. They don't meet the demand out there. The study that we conducted looking at the Eastern Cape as well as the Western Cape shows that we only respond to about 20% of the need on the ground, and that on its own tells you there's a huge challenge. You might go out, many people will be complaining of not getting the support because many people need the support and we don't necessarily have the resources to respond to the need. And the same goes for Ilima Letsima. but with Ilimalitsima, because it's also a fund that responds to addressing hunger and poverty, we look at the CRDP nodal sites and vulnerable households. So those become areas also that we have targeted response. In that instance, we help with the backyard food gardens, we fund community gardens, we fund school gardens, so that there's high interest of food for young people, for communities that are vulnerable. Hook accounts for the fund, as has been indicated, the accountability starts at the provincial level because they have constitutionally the mandate to implement the conditional grant. They are guided, they need to comply with the PFMA, they need to then provide oversight to their district offices, and it does not necessarily filter to a municipal office. So it remains a responsible fund that is managed through the provincial departments of agriculture. At any point where they need to identify partners and they need to probably engage with your municipalities, they must follow proper PFMA processes to engage in agreements with those service providers that they would have identified. Ours would be to then monitor on, based on the business plan, they would clearly outline how the program is going to be implemented, but we then can go and verify to say, on this project, we said these are the partners that are intervening, this is how the funds is done, and on a monthly basis, the province provides monthly financial reports, which we assess and we send through to National Treasury. On a quarterly basis, they provide financial as well as non-financial reports, which we also look at. And on that basis, we then send out to the partners that are helping us to monitor the program, the report of that province, so that they are now going on the ground to verify if that was reported is actually what is happening on the ground. Our challenge, as has been highlighted, is that our monitoring is inadequate. We need to increase more capacity in that space. Then on the Mtingwe Tea Estate, we were called by the province after they did their turnaround strategy. I think one of the biggest failures of that tea estate is the fact that it was government-owned. And as Honourable Member has indicated, at a point where the resources of government depleted, you then prioritize the operations of the state and not running operations or businesses, which is not necessarily your primary objective. And it then calls on the province to really make sure that they make the let the communities own up to these resources and be supported adequately. We shared with them that there's an excellent model in the Eastern Cape through which the community partnered with the private sector on the macadamia, and we are proposing to the province, they are willing to give us a date to just go and share the macadamia model, because in that instance, this tea estate of Ntingwe, although it has 400 hectares of tea planted, it can generate 74 permanent jobs. One of the biggest challenges is that the workers there, they come to work and work when they want, and because they know they can't be chased out because this is a government entity. So the quality is lost also based on the poor productivity of the estate itself. But added to that is that although it has best quality tea, as has been indicated, it is profitable if it is properly managed, but it cannot even attract private funding because no bank will finance a government department, because the government department is not expected to be running a business. So those are some of the things that we are really trying to assist the province, because their turnaround strategy at this point in time is still talking to the state owning the estate, and we are saying you cannot sustain and open up the value of that facility if you continue in this fashion. The 33% of farms that are commercial, Chair, one of the weaknesses that we picked up from the impact study was the fact that it did not delineate on the percentage that is 33%, but we are assuming it talks to the smallholder who needed to have been commercialized, because you have then a portion which is subsistence. They don't necessarily need to be accessing markets anyway. And then you have the smallholder, and you have a portion which is commercial that just needed a small injection to be sustainable and continuous viable to sustain their jobs. What we are doing, as Minister has indicated, is that there is a need to consciously industrialize these operations, and you are not going to industrialize them if you are going to perpetually provide a grant funding which is not blended. So our blended option is talking to this, and we are not getting any other resource elsewhere. We then need to be looking at least 20 to 35% of the CASP grant earmarked to provide a grant fund pool for which we can blend these funds with the land bank. We are already in agreement with the land bank on this modality, and National Treasury has made available in this current financial year 100 million for which we can pilot this grant funds pool. And those are the questions from us. And I think the same model that we are proposing talks to the same issues of Nivold Wheelchair. It does have the best quality rooibos tea in the world, and it cannot be continuously fully owned by the state. You need to make sure, because the state does not aggressively market. That is why you don't get it on the shelves of the shops. And there's a lot of goodwill that has happened in turning around the dying community of Nivold, so it can just be enhanced. And we are actually happy that it has done well, but its true value has not yet been uncovered. Thank you.
I'm going there myself. I had a long conversation over the phone with the management there, telephone meeting, but I'll go there myself. Any other additions? Yes?
Thank you.
You want the floor?
Just to add, in terms of how do we move funds and how do we account from ourselves as national and the provinces, that we do have the grant framework which stipulates the roles and responsibility of each, for instance, in terms of ensuring that on a quarterly basis we do have come to meet with them and see what the reports are, and also how do we go to the province and validate the reports that they have submitted to us. So that grant framework does stipulate the roles and responsibility among ourselves. The other interventions that we are working on with land care groups is that for those provinces that do not have land care groups, we are trying to encourage them to utilize the equitable share, and that's the engagement that we are having with the province to ensure that they use the equitable share to support land care groups, because they form basis for monitoring on behalf of government also. If you check in the areas where there have been drought relief support also, those communities, if they are working as a group, as an institution group, they are able to pinpoint some farmers who are able, who have been reducing the stock, but because of the nature of the events, they were affected. And we feel strongly that such institution is very critical, and that's why we are engaging with province as part of our cooperative governance. The other cooperative governance that we are having with other sister departments in terms of EIAs and DIA and NEMA and us is that our soil conservation structures are there to enhance the environment, so there should be some kind of exemptions when we are dealing with those infrastructure related that are going to support the environment, other than going through a full EIA process. And this is the cooperative governance that we are working with them to ensure that the work on the ground proceed in a cooperative level. Thank you.
Are you done? Treasury, your remarks.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just to add on the issue of colleges, to say, Honourable Members will remember that there is a legislation that says provinces are only responsible for basic education. So it meant that, because remember the TVET colleges were previously with provinces until 2014 when they were moved. Also ABET, it was part of provinces.
So this is the next step that says colleges, agricultural colleges, are also a higher education training, not a basic education, which is the function of a provincial state of government. On the second one, the issue of slide 4 and 5, just to say CASP is a, it's a Schedule 4 grant, which means it's supposed to be supplemented by the equitable share. So therefore, if you look at Farmer Support and Development Grant Program, where this grant is in provinces, or in some provinces it will be a sub-program, depending on how the department is structured. So part of this work that is being done, like farmers being supported, not only through the grant, but also through the equitable share, because that's what is meant to happen. So some provinces, the reporting will be that some information is supposed to be for equitable share. Like we see this anomaly in terms of what happened in Mpumalanga, that we see that most of they indicate that mostly they supported more farmers, but there were lesser projects. So, and in any case, in any event, it doesn't mean that when you've got more beneficiaries, like, I think like my colleague said, you might have 10 projects which support more people. So it depends how you structure your reporting and your projects. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you to Treasury. Minister, anything more from you?
I would just want to thank the committee for allowing us a chance to report, promising that on the areas we have made commitments, we will make sure that we fulfill those. If we have made the same to Treasury as we deal with the metrics report, which would outline how we are going to change agriculture. But
thank
again,
you.
Lucky to say, Chairperson, sorry. When the country was in a technical recession, the contribution of agriculture of 3.6%, which contributed 0.7% to the GDP, means that with more funding, but not only funding, but also improvement of personnel and how funds are used, can go a long way in alleviating poverty and creating a viable agricultural sector in the country. So agriculture is the future.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Yeah, that is a good story. What contribution agriculture made specific in the second quarter of this year. Honourable Minister, for you and your team, thank you for honouring this meeting. This will be an engagement that we will follow up next year. It was enriching to listen to you and very informative. We are mindful, Honourable Members, of the other disaster that hit the country, the chicken flu. But during the provincial week last week, we visited a chicken farm near Warrington. It's a success story. And that lady, employing a lot of people from Warrington, is taking that gap now to go deeper into the market because she's got quality chickens. The other main thing that came out here is the issue of research. Agricultural science and maths. When we engage in our constituencies with our people, speaking to young people, we must encourage them to go in this direction. We need them. The country needs them to have a success story in agriculture. The other point I made here, Honourable Minister, members, is the role of extension officers. It's a really important position, because that is the link between the farmer and the department. It's the extension officer. It's the same in education with the circuit manager at visiting that specific area, the circuit, the link between the school and the department and the regional offices. And what must happen? The monitoring evaluation function is in the office of the Premier in the province. There must be such a function at the regional level as well. Specific in your big provinces, like Northern Cape, like North West, in a certain way, Free State. And these extension officers must be expertise, because they must educate that farmer. You must improve yourself. Yes, that's the role. That information that's being conveyed to our farmers, and on a quarterly basis, that the regional office manager or what I call a district director have such an information meeting in his region, in the sub-zones, telling the people what's happening in the department, what is the rollout plan, how are we progressing with the budget for the year. Lastly, food gardens at school can fit into the program mentioned by the presenters for Lenke groups. A brilliant example is the primary school in Kamieskroon. Before you get to the school, you pass this vegetable garden. It's incredible what they did. And there's not an excess of water, but they're doing it. It's now an eco-school. So it can be done. That information is crucial. We wish you well for the last part of the financial year. Looking forward to the 25th of October when Minister of Finance presents his MTBDS. We still got other housekeeping matters. We're going to release you, Minister. Thank you. And we see in the NCP this afternoon.
Thank you.
Honourable members, we've got one set of minutes. Where is it? Here it is. The 13th of September, that's the day my wife, it was her birthday. Yeah, but I wasn't there. 13th of September, 10 o'clock in the morning, we dealt with a report on the Malaysian study tour, draft of term program and minutes. It was circulated to members. I put to members page 1. Fine, page 1. Honourable members, I put to members page 2. are you fine with page 2?
Yes, sir.
And we go on to page 3. That's half a page. Are you fine with page 3? Thank you, a mover for adoption. Thank you, Honourable Motara, and seconded by Honourable Essak. The last point, which is not on the program, but on the agenda, there was a multi-party works meeting this morning. I'm going to ask Honourable Motara just to update us. Are there new developments that we have to know?
Yeah, the meeting is taking place at 1.
Oh, that's 1. Thank you. That's future music. Tomorrow, Honourable Members, Select Committee on Finance. We've got one. What is this? Well, yeah. Here's the notice of the meeting. You received it by email as well. We are scheduled to meet Land Bank. Land Bank sent Leadership Center email. The APP hasn't been signed off by the minister yet. Yes, so I communicated with Treasury. I'm waiting for their reply. Somewhere something is not right in terms of processes. So I'm dealing with that in my position as Chair of Finance, that we just get some clarity, and I'll give feedback tomorrow as soon as I get the reply from the National Treasury. So we will be dealing with the report of our oversight to Gauteng. Yeah. All the members, anything you want to add or ask? We're going to have a hectic program until at least the 3rd of December. So, you must be programmed fit. You've got to be meeting fit. Yes. On Monday?
The feedback meetings in the ACG are still on the program.
Yes, it's not been, it's just been shifted. It's not been taken off totally, no. Yes, you're right. We would have gone there on the 3rd and 4th of October, am I correct?
Yes.
But in terms of the volume of site visits, in referring to the presentations we received here, the distances, we couldn't do it in 2 days. It wouldn't have worked. because we were supposed to be here the Thursday for plenary. So we will need a whole week. And I communicated to myself and Honorable Motara, we have to start on a Monday. You can't start on a Tuesday. Because you're losing one day. And we will have to engage with our political parties that we are released for a month, that Monday in January. The first week in January, we said we must set aside for that oversight. January 2018. Yes, we are supposed to be here on Bumatara the 20th, 21st, somewhere there.
But Chair, I also noticed in the minutes that we just approved that you alluded in the previous meeting to the fact that we should look at the first week when we come back to oversight in the Western Cape.
Yes,
so I'm
going
to be
is that we utilize parliamentary days to the optimum. And not just to wait for something to happen. Let us make the things happen. Yes, as finance and appropriations. So this is a trip to the Eastern Cape. Western Cape is here. We can get into a combi and just go and do our oversight, for example, in Philippi. The whole issue of the water is a serious issue here. That was, a remark was made by the deputy mayor of Cape Town Metro. They're not going the way of desalinization. I'll never forget, I told him. You're going to be forced to go that way.
Yes,
it's happening now. It's the future planning, not only for 2018, for the next 25 years.
Yes.
Yes. Looking at the expansion that this metro is expanding. Like with what we saw in Johannesburg and Tshwane. And Ekurhuleni, it's happening here. And Parliament is here. I think we must be more vigilant on these issues. So we're going to look at the Secretariat will look at the dates. What can we do when to be effective and efficient?
Okay.
That's it. Honourable members, that concludes the business of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
I'll be proper that.